Hello and welcome to Bleed Geek, episode number 141. I'm Mike Earle.
Randy Orvis.
It is Thursday, the last Thursday of February, the 27th, according to the calendar I'm looking at. That's still non-existent. It's a little after
if there was one hanging there.
Like magically? I looked like at it. I was looking at it when I...
No, like if you had gotten one last week and you're like...
Should have. I have one too. Anyways, welcome. We are probably going to talk about mostly tech things, but anything else we decide is relevant as well, because that's what we do. You may have noticed Randy was absent last week, but he has successfully returned.
Woo-hoo!
From his trip to the land of...
I went to find...
Legalized marijuana.
I went to find the polar vortex and discuss with him that I'm not happy.
Did you talk to Wes Welker as well?
Yeah, I was like, hey, you should come check out the Vikings.
They got a and then you guys laugh together?
Yeah.
Anyway. So, did you have a good trip?
I did. It was warmer out there, which was nice.
It was like 60s? 50s? I suppose once you got up in the mountains, it's a little colder.
Yeah, in the mountains, like the first 4 days we were out there, it was in the upper 30s on the hill. Last 2 days was in the low 20s to upper teens. But in the mountain town where we were staying, it was mid-40s pretty much the entire time.
Shorts and t-shirt weather.
It was glorious. Like, we were the only people walking around in shorts, jeans, and sweatshirts, like, just my hoodie on. It gets
to, like, 15 and I wear my hoodie.
Right.
And Danny's like, you need a coat. And I'm like, it's plenty warm.
Pretty much. That's people at work are always like... Below zero. I'm like, yeah, cool story, guys. My coat's in my car.
I get it. You're probably parking a ramp, so whatevs.
Yeah, but all in all, we did 80,000 vertical feet, roughly, in the 5 days that we boarded out there.
I have no reference for that, so good job.
It's like, I don't know how many miles. You could figure it out.
I could, or anyone could.
You could if you wanted. Do the math quick.
What do you mean by vertical feet?
That's how far we traveled. Like,
why do you call them vertical feet?
Because we were going up a mountain.
So does that make it more impressive because it's not flat land?
Well, like, that's when we skied, we one.
So
day
you travel only like a mile this way, lengthwise maybe, but because you're going down the side of the hill, it makes it more? Is that what you're trying to say?
No, it just tracks how high you go. So, like, if the bottom of the chairlift is at 0 feet and the top of it's at 3,000...
You went 3,000 vertical feet.
You traveled 3,000 vertical feet.
But hypothetically, in a straight line from the top, it's like if you went out straight, like, follow the triangle, you're traveling the hypotenuse, technically.
Yeah.
But the actual length wouldn't maybe be, like, the base, even though it's the top at that point.
Where are you going with this?
Never mind. Triangles. Do you know how triangle works? So.
Some old horses. Canter along happily.
Anyway.
Adventures, Mike.
Yeah, I never heard that, but.
Tangent is.
No, I know, I got it. I got it when you said it.
Do you get it?
No, I got it when you said it. I realized what it was, but I'd never heard
sign
it.
Sign equals.
What do you call that? A mnemonic device?
So. Mr. Timgren taught us that.
Really? He just told me to memorize it, and I said, okay, Mr. Timgren. That's why I was his favorite. Moving on.
Uh-oh, we gotta fight.
Disney.
Yeah.
Released an app on iOS. You know anything about it?
No.
It doesn't seem that crazy, but it is a little crazy
I did
because
hear about it.
They're one of the first... Well... So the weird thing about it is it allows you to basically stream any of their movies, mm-hmm. which includes, will include all the Star Wars movies, I guess, and includes all the Marvel movies because, hey, guess what? They own both those franchises now. And
does it include Toy Story, though?
Yes, Pixar movies, too.
Does it include yes. Finding Nemo?
So what's crazy about it is it allows you to, it's able to read your iTunes account is essentially what's weird about it. Like, nothing else anywhere is ever allowed to really connect to your iTunes account except for in-app purchases. But this allows you to stream if you've already bought things through iTunes, like if you bought Toy Story or Finding Nemo already.
What about Little Mermaid?
Or The Little Mermaid. Right. Well, and they give you, at least at the early adopters, like the people that downloaded right away got The Incredibles for free. So, I mean, we already own that, but now I have it digitally, so that's nice. It's funny, though, because I clicked on Get It, and now I can just go on my Apple TV and be like, oh, yeah, because it's in the cloud, I can watch it. But the big news with it is just the it's never really been done that same way before, where it's been, like, your iTunes account has been connected to something in that manner. So that's kind of why they're making a big deal. But Disney and Apple have always been close, so kind of makes sense. Maybe
that'll be a thing to come. You know, it's an interesting concept, that whole way of connecting. Because I think of people that I know at work that have bought movies, like even me, I've bought a couple movies through the Google Play Store. And if there's a way that services will connect up where...
Yeah.
And it's like, oh.
So they're kind of taking an interesting perspective on the stores that they already have access to, I guess, is what it is. So... I don't know. Something to check out if you have an iOS device. I'm sure they will do something with Android in the future. I don't see why they wouldn't. There's a lot of phone stuff we have. Mobile World Congress was last week, this week-ish. I don't know. It's hard for me to follow because A, it's in Barcelona, which always makes things weird. They always talk about prices in euros. Whatever.
I just thought that was a sandwich.
Euro?
Good one.
Oh.
What is that on top of?
Nothing. Just kidding, it's a bottle cap.
And the other thing that it's Mobile World Congress, so it's a lot of phones. And not that I don't like Android phones, but Jesus. They just flood the market from every direction. From different crazy people.
Don't blame Android.
No, I'm not blaming Android. I'm just saying.
You said Android phones.
No, I have two specific, three possibly phones that I'm going to talk about that are Android-based, but there's just so many that it's hard to keep up with and care about all the time.
Do you think the same could be said if Apple's iOS was open source?
Yeah, I would say the same thing.
Then don't complain.
I can complain because it's not open source.
Yeah, no, you're not allowed to complain.
So, Nokia had an event. Oh, Samsung had an event.
Yeah,
we'll Samsung. Start with Samsung. I'm skipping ahead.
No, let's go to Nokia.
You want to talk about Nokia?
Nobody cares about Nokia.
So, they released Nokia X, X Plus, and XL, which are all three Android running on Nokia, which is new because usually they always have Windows. Or they had, what was the old operating system? Meridian? That's not the name at all.
It was something...
Migo? No.
It was something cheesy. It had a...
It's something Swedish sounding. I don't know. it was weird because Stephen Elop was still with them. He did the presentation, but basically, they announced some really, really cheap Lumia phones that were based on Windows for like 29 euros or something, which was crazy. And I don't know how that compares to American dollars, and I didn't look. But they did announce the Nokia X, which was like the worst kept secret because everyone kept saying that they were going to release an Android run phone. Symbian, that's what it was. Did you just look that up or did you know it?
No, I looked it up.
Oh.
Because I couldn't remember.
You could have told me you knew it and I would have been impressed.
I know. I could have lied to you, but that's okay. I'm better than that.
But yeah, so not that anything from their phones were real exciting. And I thought their version of Android still looked a lot like Windows. Did you see it?
Yes, it looks...
Like, it's the live tiles, the Metro style, that you can't call Metro anymore.
Block,
I don't think they're the ones blocking it.
You don't think they are?
They said that they use the open source. I think it's because they didn't partner with Google. Google's blocking them.
Mm.
like they're doing this, they're using the open source part. They're not partnering with Google to make these Android phones. They're not like getting that connection.
I know, but it should
still is the same thing with why the Nooks took forever to, and the Kindle Fires were all weird about it too at first. Eventually, I think they connected, and then they said in his announcement, he said you could sideload any Android app onto it. So you could get it, put it on, well, I don't know how you do it, flash drive or through a USB cord or something.
Yeah, USB. Or you can, just go to a website.
Yeah, you can probably just do it right on there, right? But
Todd sent me a link this week. And
to sideload your...
No, not at all.
Or just, because he's going to get an Android that looks like Windows.
That's basically... The link to the article was how you can flash one of Nokia's new phones to run Windows OS. My first comment was,
why wouldn't you just buy a Windows phone?
Why would anybody do that? Like, it just makes no sense. And I asked him right away. I said, so are you going to be switching to an Android? And he said, no. Like, I don't...
Why would you flash one of... Nokia's phone when you could just buy their Windows phone and it would be
the
proper
principle.
But yeah, so basically he said, you know, we're putting Android on here in its most basic form. We've modded it to look like Windows, but you can do whatever you want and have access to all these apps through any stores you could find. He said any stores, any other Android stores. So they might not have Google Play directly, but through
it's
a workaround.
It's a joke.
Yeah. I don't think they'll sell well.
Why would they?
And anyone that buys it, it's because they're confused one way or the other about what they're getting. Either they think they're getting a Windows phone and they're getting Android, or they don't know what Android's supposed to look like and they think they're buying a good brand.
I think the people that are going to buy it just don't care what they get. They're looking for, you know, it's like when people buy smartphones.
They said the price is in euros,
anyways.
So I don't know.
Right. But, it's like when I see people... I look at even Nicole's phone. Like, I know it's an older phone, but I'm like, why would anybody...
She have a smartphone?
Yeah. It's from...
France?
It's the company that made the waterproof phone. Remember that one at all? It's like 2 years old.
Wacom? Vizio.
ZX. Starts with an X.
Oh, Xperia?
Excite bike.
I knew
it. Nice. And Paperboy.
That's Nokia.
Go Nokia.
Samsung.
Do you think they'll be a relevant company in 2 years?
Microsoft bought them, so they'll stay around just based on that. But then again, you thought that about Motorola, didn't you? Although I think Lenovo will actually do good things with them. Anyways. Samsung. So Samsung had their Unpacked event. They announced the Galaxy S5 to come out, I believe, in April. What?
I'm showing you the back. Does that look like anything you've seen?
What? Your Asus? Oh, yeah, it looks exactly like that, the back of the S5. It's funny because... Okay, so we're going to talk about the S5. So they obviously changed the back. It's got that dimpled golf ball.
If you are familiar
Nexus 7 look.
Nexus 7... The back, like the rubberized coating, feels like a golf ball. It feels nice.
It's funny because I think one of the biggest complaints I saw by anyone for the S4s were how cheap the back felt and how plasticky it felt. So obviously that's something they addressed.
Do you think they went about it the right way?
The back?
Yeah.
I don't think it really mattered. I mean...
I don't think they improved it.
I think they just changed the way it looked. They put a little grip on it. They didn't make it flat plastic. Just to try to change its image.
I agree.
I thought they really didn't have anything too exciting at all with the S5, really.
No.
I saw an interesting... I don't know if I just saw someone say something on Twitter, but I think it's funny that they have a fingerprint sensor on the S5. But like when Apple announced it, everyone freaked out that the NSA was going to have all their fingerprints, but no one said anything about it now. It's just like, oh, cool.
Everyone got it out of the way.
Right.
When that came out.
Like, but it's just funny that... So it has a fingerprint sensor. The other thing I think might be just because of the way they're spinning it, they're like, this is a heart rate sensor as opposed to unlock with your fingerprint. Although they did say they would do fingerprint stuff, but I think they pounded more the heart rate sensor thing a little more.
And I heard the heart rate sensor worked well. The fingerprint... sensor was very subpar.
Well, because it's funny. Like, so, and Apple just released, for some, they released a very in-depth on how their sensor worked, like, the last couple days. But with the Apple one, it's you put your thumbprint on it, reads the whole thing, right? But with Samsung's, you have to, like, slide it down. It's just a narrow band. Like, it looks, let me see the bottom. Is there a button on the bottom of yours? You don't have a button.
No.
But there's that button. There's that, like, little slit on the Galaxies. I don't know if you've ever seen it. I'm sure you've seen it before, but so that's what that is. Otherwise, the S5 was just, you know, the S5. I don't know. There was nothing that stuck out to me about that. They also relaunched or upgraded their Galaxy Gear smartphones, or their smartwatches. They did not call them Galaxy Gears anymore. I think they called it, I think, just the Gear Neo, and then the Gear Fit, I believe, were the three names. And it's interesting is that they dropped Android from it. It doesn't run Android anymore. It runs on Tizen, which is interesting because if you got a Galaxy Gear, guess what? It just became irrelevant because they're not going to support it anymore because it runs Android, and they're not going to do that anymore. It's only been out for 5 months, which is a pretty quick turnaround, even in the tech world. And I don't remember exactly what they were selling for, but I think it was reasonably expensive. I mean, for a watch, essentially. I think it was $200 to $250, I think, was the range. That sounds about right.
Yep. They look good.
The Fit one looks like it's got like a, it's a very narrow band. It looks kind of like the Fitbits do.
Yep.
Except for it has a big screen on it instead of just that tiny little screen the Fitbits have.
Have you played with a Fitbit?
No, Josh had one. I wonder what he did with his. And Katie has one. And we had this discussion. I don't remember if we had it on air or if we had it off. But both of us were really only interested in our sleep patterns with it. But yeah, so the Galaxy Gears. Anything else you want to say about Samsung?
Go Samsung.
And while we're on the Fitbit, I think it's interesting that Fitbit is recalling all their Force wristbands.
I heard people were getting rashes.
Rashes from them, yep. So, if you have one, you probably want to look into that.
That seems weird to me.
And also, we talked last week, and by we, I mean I talked to you about Aereo getting an injunction against it in Salt Lake City due to all the court battles. So they put it, but now they have a 14-day stay, so they'll be back in service for the next 14 days until they can get their appeal going. But it's gonna go to the Supreme Court regardless, so we'll see how that all pans out.
I hope they hold up.
Do you want to talk about Google or do you want to talk about Netflix?
Netflix.
So earlier this week, Netflix and Comcast announced together after some kind of rumblings coming from the Wall Street Journal that Netflix is going to be directly paying Comcast for direct data access for their customers.
Is this all in part to the net neutrality laws?
So I would say no to that. A lot of people think it is, but I actually read a lot about it and I started to write some. I'll probably have it up tomorrow about this. But so they probably had this deal started before the net neutrality laws went away, because that went away quite recently.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting is that Netflix actually uses a lot of other companies already to distribute because of this reason. So they use a company called Congen, I believe, and there's one called Level 3, and there's three or four other ones that are just random. They basically distribute Netflix's data. That way Netflix isn't doing it itself. And the reason they do that is like Level 3 already pays Comcast. They've already had that deal in place. That's why they initially signed up with them. There's been a lot of complaints prior to this that Comcast users were having problems streaming Netflix, that it was becoming very bogged down and slow, and so they thought...
And I've heard that from
They thought people. That they were throttling it, and I thought to myself that I had never noticed that. Well, I found out today that different devices stream from different partners. So Apple devices stream from Level 3, this company that distributes it, and they're the ones that already had a deal. And so if you use your Apple TV or an Apple device, odds are
you're not noticing
the slowdown. But the Congen one is the one that refuses to pay Comcast directly, and they're the ones that are getting throttled. So whatever devices are running off of that data source, let's say, they're having the issue. But the fact that now Comcast is being directly paid by Netflix, they might end up moving more of their stuff back to their own streams.
Yeah.
Effectively.
Well, then why wouldn't they?
Because they're already paying these other people to do what they now can do on their own.
Yep.
And then Verizon is also expected to come in to try to get money from Netflix for the same reason.
I'm sure with that, too, then they could... I mean, I don't know if Netflix would incorporate some sort of advertising into their streams, but then they could also...
Well, so what a lot of people think is going to happen is that they're going to end up raising their prices because now they have to pay Comcast, Verizon, Time Warner, whoever, to use these streams, but... that might not be the case, especially if they're going to be able to cut out these third-party users as well. So maybe the cost actually won't change. And in the old net neutrality laws that went away recently, it would have been on the shady side, but it still would have been legal through the loopholes. They call it peering. So there was already some issues, but they intentionally left that out when it was... Janikowski was the FCC chairman when that went into place, and he intentionally, I guess, left that out because they didn't want to deal with what was something that was going on at the time involving that. But Wheeler is the new chairman now, and they're supposedly writing new net neutrality laws, so maybe then that would put in something. But there's definitely a problem with the internet as a whole right now in the last mile situations. But
agreed.
The way it's set up, there's really nothing anyone can do about it except for call the FCC and complain, which I'll link on our Facebook to an interesting article on The Verge.
It wasn't written by Josh, was it?
No, Neil.
Okay, I like Neil.
The title is that the internet is fucked. and at the bottom, it gives you the direct line to the FCC or the Tom Wheeler's email.
Do they give you, like, a little template of stuff that you could say to them?
They just, I mean, if you read the article, you get the gist of it. It's a little longer, but it's well-written, and it's definitely a rant, but it's a very truthful rant, so. It is what it is. So, anything else you want to say about Netflix and Comcast?
No.
Other than the fact that the FCC needs to get their crap together, and they probably shouldn't let the Time Warner Comcast deal go through. But they will.
You think it'll go through?
Yeah, unless enough complaints get brought up. I don't think it'll matter. I think there's too many lobbyists for the other side. Especially after watching all... the week you were gone,
yep.
I essentially watched all of House of Cards Season 1 and 2.
It was... I read on, Monday when I was out there that it's Netflix most binge-watched television
show. Yeah, they said, there's a number, in the millions of people that watched the whole season 2 from the day, that week, because it came on a Friday, that weekend.
That's awesome.
But I hadn't watched season 1 yet. I'd never watched it, so I started season 1 over Valentine's Day weekend, and I finished it Monday morning. I finished the last of season 2. That's 26 awesome. 26 hour-long episodes.
That's
a lot of intake. That's a lot. Super good, though, in case you're curious.
And it's a good cast. It's a really good cast.
But that was a complete side note. That's just Netflix. Carry on. Google. They had a couple things at Mobile World Congress, kind of on their own. I assume the news came out because of Mobile World Congress, but I don't know that for a fact, so we'll just go with it. They announced Project Tango, which is... I believe something that also came out of their Motorola department that they kept.
Correct.
But it's sort of like a crazy Doppler sonar type device for your phone. I mean, I don't think it uses sound. I don't know what it uses. Maybe does it use sound?
No.
It uses accelerometers and all these other sensors.
Accelerometer and basically reading depth on photo.
Yeah. So essentially, it builds maps of insides of room. I don't know, crazy stuff. It looks super awesome. It builds
3D models of a room.
like while you're walking through it. They had a lot of implications. Did you see the demos? Yeah, they had a lot of implications cool. that would help blind people a lot. It was the biggest use that I saw, use case. I don't know. I don't really know what you'd use it for besides that, other than having cool 3D models of rooms.
That's, yeah, I don't know.
I guess maybe in the end there'd be some solid architecture. I mean, you know, people think of crazy stuff, so who knows, right?
It'll be interesting to see what comes of it.
And I think you can sign up to try to get in on the beta.
I watched the first demo video that came out, and it looks, again, like, I don't know what people will use it for, but it was really cool. I mean, it was an interesting...
They carried it in their front pocket, and so, like, the camera could see, I feel like.
Oh, this one was a guy, like, holding it like this.
Like this?
He was just like...
Okay, and it was just, like, mapping the room. But, like I think walking around with it, that, like, that's what they suggest, so that the camera can sense things while you're walking, and then, yeah... It's cool, but the phone, it's like it's basically like two phones stuck on top of each other. It's pretty thick.
Yeah.
Not that that's really thick given the size of phones these days, but. And then they talked more about their Project Aria. They're hoping that they could sell it for $50, apparently.
Does that seem crazy?
It depends on what it includes. Because, like, so the Project Aria is kind of like that building block phone, right? Like, that's yep. what it is. Kind of like build your own. So if $50 is the base, I guess it kind of makes sense because they're going to get you in the end with upgrades, right? Like, oh, well, get a better camera for another $25. Get a faster right. processor for another $50.
And that's, well, welcome to the whole purpose of the entire thing, really.
Right.
You know, but it's like $50, like, is that just the processor then? And then
or is that the there? Base? Maybe or it's just the flat base, right? Like, to put the pieces into it. I mean, it's just a lot of speculation, but it was rumored, and then just, I think today was actually announced, they have a few conference dates set and developer kits that are going to go out soon. So if you want to get it on the ground floor... Did you ever do, because we both signed up, and I know I stopped doing it, but there was some app you could use to help them decide what was important, or was that a completely different project? I think it was this project.
No, it was part of this one.
Did you do it ever?
Mm-mm.
I did the first couple, and I was like, I don't have time for this anymore. Especially since it's something I'll probably, it'll be Android first, so. I mean, I would use it if it was free, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, it's not going to be free.
It's going to be $50. We just talked about that. Yep. Which would be crazy. But Google does weird things. And it's funny that these two things are both the things that they kept out of the Motorola group, I guess, technically. But they're definitely interesting projects. Right?
I agree.
So, the only other big news has been that the world of Bitcoin has been going insane. Is that the only other news you have? Or do you have other things before we get into Bitcoin?
I had one random story, but it can go after Bitcoin.
Okay, so it'll go after Bitcoin. So, yep. Randy, what's been happening in the Bitcoin world?
So we had talked a little bit about, I believe we talked about it, Mt. Gox, which was Bitcoin's largest exchange for Bitcoin.
The last thing we talked about was that they had stopped taking...
Okay, they had stopped taking...
They were still trading.
Withdrawals.
They were still trading when we talked, and they were about to restart taking incoming money, I believe. Yes. They said they had fixed it, and possibly were going to start soon, so... Yeah.
And there was rumor that, like, that they were doing this whole system upgrade, and that Litecoin was actually going to be able to be traded on Mt. Gox. While I was out in Colorado... every other exchange felt the effect of it going down. So Bitcoin has lost, I mean, I would say a third of its value, pretty much.
Yeah.
In a month's time. Well.
Oh, really? In a couple of days? Well, it started when they started having problems, I guess. But it really dropped, like, it plummeted for a couple of days there.
Yeah. Well, Mt. Gox was one of the higher priced exchanges for Bitcoin, and
one of the bigger ones, I believe.
It was the largest in volume and total Bitcoins there. So they ended up, people couldn't like they were trying to do, so they still allowed trading on there, so you could trade bitcoins, you could buy bitcoins from people, you could sell bitcoins with money that you already had in Mt. Gox. Well, they suspended all transactions total, so the last closing price for a bitcoin on Mt. Gox when they decided to do this was $135.
So it's funny, right? So this all happened. It happened Wednesday night, last Wednesday. I know it did because I got home from trivia and I was like, oh man, I don't know what's going on. Like BTC, the Bitcoin exchange that we use, it was just plummeting. I was like, oh man. So I sold everything I had. I was like, this is just going nuts right now. I was like, it's just dropping. And then everyone was, all they were talking about was Gox, right? And so I switched over to Gox just to watch. And it was like, it's just plummeting. And I was like, oh man, it's like 1:30 in the morning. I was like, I need to go to bed. Like, I can't stop. It's like a car crash. Like, I couldn't took away. Watching. Plus, I was like, I don't know what to do. Should I buy back it? Like, because I had sold, because it was just dropping like a stone, right? Like, yep. I was like, this is not good. And so I had sold everything, all the Bitcoin I had on BTCE. And I was just like, oh, and I was like, it was like 2 o'clock. I was like, I can't keep watching this. I have to go to bed. So I bought back in at when it seemed to have bottomed out. It seemed to have bottomed out.
Yeah.
So I bought back in and then I went to bed and like Gox was at, it was under 100, I think.
Yeah. It was when I'd seen it reach like $97 at one point and I'm like, Gox is screwed. Like there's no way they're coming back from this. And they ended up disabling, first, they deleted all of their tweets from their Twitter account. Then,
if that doesn't tell you something shady's going on, I don't know what does, right?
Then they took down all, they disabled all trading. So a quick note on that. So there was a backdoor way of people still being able to get their money out. And I'm blanking on what the name of the guy is. So there's a guy on Gox, and he posted a really good, I meant to send it to you, he posted a really good post on Reddit's Bitcoin subforum about, so he runs another company for trading Bitcoin, and basically what he's doing is he's using all of his funds. So he's saying, I will buy your Bitcoins on Gox, send them, like, deposit them into this account, and when he has confirmation that they're on there, then your money is basically, like, in... So say you give me... So say I'm running this site, but we're both invested on Gox. You send... I say, hey, Mike, I've got my account. You want to sell your Bitcoin. You want to get out totally. You can sell it to me. So I'll buy it from you for a third of its list price, and
like Bitcoin's list price or like Gox's list price, because
Bitcoin's list price.
It's like based on like Coinbase or something.
So this guy basically is gambling on the fact that Gox may come back, and he's buying all of these Bitcoins from people.
But they're still on Gox.
So they're transferring them to his account, and he's paying them outside of Gox.
But he's taking the Bitcoin inside.
Yes.
And paying them cash outside.
Yep.
That seems stupid. Like,
it's either the best idea in the world because he's going to be rich when it's all said and done, or the stupidest if Gox completely goes under.
Well, it's gone now, isn't it?
So Gox took their website down, and it's just it has their logo and says, we're working through technical difficulties, blah, blah, blah. So I started doing research.
So what I had read was supposedly they had planned on doing this anyway, basically shutting down and reestablishing a new website, just Gox without the mount.
Without mount.
And they were going to reopen and be like, haha, sorry about all that mess over there. This is a new place. It's way better.
Just rebranding, basically.
Right, which is stupid because you still have the main part of your name. Everyone just calls it Gox, but neither here nor there.
So there are so many theories. So one theory I heard was, when the Silk Road was taken down, the majority of the coins that were taken through that were from Gox, which makes sense because that was the largest exchange. So part of one theory is the U.S. actually took down Gox, like the government did.
Makes sense, I guess.
And then they're working on selling Gox on the back end to another one of the exchanges. So there's rumor that Stamp...
So the guy that owned it as well also stepped down from the Bitcoin board
foundation.
Yep. So that's another huge hit.
But the interesting thing is the last rumor that... I mean, like, a year ago, I think it was, Gox had been hacked, quoting in the air, for, it was like 50,000 Bitcoin.
Right.
I mean, and at the time, it was worth like $300,000, you know?
Because that's nothing.
Right. Well, people have been, so one thing that's cool about Bitcoin is the ledger for all Bitcoins is completely public knowledge.
Right.
So you can, I mean, if you want to go through
You can watch all the Bitcoin being stolen, essentially.
Yeah. And people found all of the addresses for the Bitcoins that were initially put into Gox, and they're almost all accounted for. So they think that all of, like, Gox being hacked might have been a ruse completely, and that this guy is just totally embezzling money. So
the guy that's running it?
Yeah. So nobody in the end right now knows what's going to happen. It's speculated that Gox is supposed to rebrand and come back up, but there is no info on when that's going to be. And I also heard that, I don't remember what the guy's name is, but he's been subpoenaed to the U.S. actually for trial because of all this.
So right away, like, the U.S. was like, gonna get in on it. Now I think China's getting in on it too.
China
finally
wants, yep. Japan.
Oh, Japan, that's right.
In on it.
Is that where it's based out of, or was it in China?
No, they're based out of Japan.
So that Magic card that you sent me earlier, it's funny because originally Gox was a Magic buying and selling card.
Yeah.
Trading. So you had sent me a link earlier that was an image of the guy that runs it, and it's a tap to all players must give you all their Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Or whatever. It's just, that's awesome.
Made me laugh. So right now, I think, I mean, it's kind of a,
it seems to be bouncing back, though. The regular Bitcoin world seems to be bouncing back a little bit, or at least steadying a little.
It's kind of a,
it's still a little haphazard,
double-headed dragon of sorts, because part of it, I think, is good that, like, if Gox goes down, like, it kind of puts some solidity back into what Bitcoin is, because there's not all of this, like, wishy-washy, like, what's happening to it. But they're, I mean, they had housed I want to say it was 500,000 Bitcoin in their exchange.
I saw
750,000.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes, I mean,
I don't know. I mean, what do you trust?
No, it's an astronomical amount, and there are people, like, I've read stories of people who have, like, had, like, life investments put into Bitcoin as their, like, retirement package, and it's all gone now.
So two questions, well, one question, one comment. First, do you think that if Gox does rebrand somehow, that it will unstabilize Bitcoin again, like, either, I mean, whether it shoots the value up again into another bubble is beside the point, but do you think it will, like, because obviously the big media is gonna, like, the problem itself is at Gox, not with Bitcoin, right? So, but the way the media portrays it a lot, it becomes a problem with Bitcoin.
Yep.
And so,
I think,
do you think it will unstabilize Bitcoin again if Gox comes back? Because who would trust it?
How do you
renew the trust in? Why would anyone put money in it?
Nobody. I don't think.
Other than getting their money back out that they have in it already.
The only way I can see people using Gox, other than, like, if Gox comes back under same management, same ownership, the only reason I see people going there is to cash out and
right.
go into another exchange. That's the only reason. The only way I see them coming back as a relevant exchange,
unless it starts out low and you could buy in Bitcoin super cheap and then take it out and go put your Bitcoin back into another exchange.
Right.
But then that would cause a huge set of problems.
Right. Essentially, they're just cashing out then, still.
But I mean, like,
cashing out of Gox. Like, because you can send from an exchange to another exchange.
Right. But if I went in there with just straight cash, bought a bunch of Bitcoin at $100 a share,
But you can't buy in cash.
Okay, you have to go in
Bitcoin. You have to go in Bitcoin. No exchange allows cash deposit.
Interesting.
So I can't, like on BTCe, you can't put US dollars in there. You can transfer Bitcoin in and then sell for US dollars. So as soon as you deposit Bitcoin over there, you immediately lost value.
Yes. That's my comment.
Agree.
In the end, I gave you $10 million and you give me this book.
Yep.
And then all the money disappeared. Right? Can you imagine, so there's another subreddit I follow. I don't even know how I did it. I think I did it when I first signed up for Reddit, but I just never undo it because sometimes it's just batshit crazy. It's called it's Our Collapse. So it's always about basically our government collapsing and how people think it's going to happen. It's always it seems like crazy conspiracy theories or extremists. Like it is
conspiracy.
But sometimes it's just crazy stuff. But a lot of the stuff, they're talking about banking and the Bitcoin thing has come up. Could you imagine if that happened with real banks? All of a sudden this is a shady bank that's not being monitored. What is it? Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac that were not real banks. So they were outside of bank regulations. Essentially the same thing could have happened then. Right. But the government bailed them out. That is what was on the verge of happening in real life. Could you imagine Bitcoin, there are people that have millions of dollars into it. Right. So, it is real money and it is a big deal. Right.
Well,
it does. It could hardcore affect someone. Can you imagine if BTCe, even with, the amount I have in there is very minimal, but I know you have a little bit more, and, you think of Funyun has even more than that, right? Yeah. But, for that money to just vanish all of a sudden, can you imagine how mad you would be? And, to say, if you just had no opportunity to ever get that money back, but to happen on even a larger scale for people that have hundreds of thousands of dollars into it,
think about the people who bought, there's people that are day trading,
That's your life's, you've been following all these people, that's essentially their jobs now, right? But, to all of a sudden have all that just vanish, even if you've been doing really well at it, right?
All of it gone, that.
How crazy is that?
And the scary thing is, me and Funyun were talking.
Could happen to any of.
Yeah, so I'll come back full circle and say, the only way I see Gox coming back, legitimately, is for other use other than cashing out, is if
someone
buys them, or, another, something.
Bitstamp or something.
Yeah, somebody relevant purchases them and takes them under their wing, sort of. That's the only way that it'll happen. Exactly what your last statement was. It could happen to any of them. That's exactly what I told Funyun. I said the problem, the scary thing about Bitcoin.
There's no oversight.
The good thing about Bitcoin is there's no regulation.
It's a double-edged sword.
The bad thing about Bitcoin is there's no regulation. So we're trust, BTCe, I believe it's Bulgarian. I believe it's a Bulgarian website, So it's I don't even, their volume amounts are crazy on there. They were the second largest exchange.
Even
for Bitcoin.
You think about Coinbase,
at least that's
they're
American.
In San Francisco,
at least
I know.
That's American owned.
But you
and
think
it's
like
backed.
They have people are signing up direct access to their bank accounts.
I'm one of them.
Well, me too. That's just the idea of something crazy happening. There's other things that have access to my bank account, sure, but out of all of them that seem the most shady, this is obviously the highest, right?
With a credit card, you at least have insurance.
Fraud insurance
through,
and stuff, right.
Through the credit card companies. But with Bitcoin, there's no refund.
That's that, mattress man.
Exactly. And so it is scary. And I told you even with Gox. Ultimately, they could shut it down. And sure, there's going to be pissed off people. But in the end, nobody can do anything about it. So
I saw an article.
It's scary.
I saw an article calling Bitcoin the new PayPal.
Yep. I've seen multiple. I've
read because PayPal stumbled a lot at the beginning as well. But look at how, people hate them, but not because it's because they charge them too much for fees and stuff. Not necessarily because, they're stable though.
Yep.
I also saw Bitcoin moved ahead of something. They're in a huge number, the most moved volume of dollars. Like Visa was number one, and like MasterCard and like PayPal was up on the list, but Bitcoin was right up there, and it was above some things that you would not have expected it to be above of. Above. That's a weird sounding. Two set above of. Anyways, I don't know. I just thought that was crazy. I saw a bunch of people calling for more regulation of Bitcoin, but it's like, how do you do that when it's not owned by anyone really? Right? I mean, I don't. That's just too deep for me, I guess.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to see quick. It'd probably be easier for me to look on my computer, but
I'll
find it here. Just what Bitcoin's total worth is right now. Because I know, like, Litecoin... Okay, here we go.
Like market value?
Yeah. So, currently, right now, so it's worth $7.2 billion. I mean, so there's a ton of money in there. Their volume,
that's
like
funny, because I find this one to be lower, but yeah,
this is on CoinMarketCap. So
it's on Bitcoin Watch, it says it's 7.087.
What's the price say it was? Per Bitcoin, this one's like almost. Well, either way, so we'll say even 7 billion.
A little above, right? It doesn't. It has like basically it shows how much money is in each separate exchange, actually.
Oh, cool. And so
Bitstamp is the biggest. BTCE is the second biggest.
Bitstamp is bigger?
Yep, it's 15. It's got 15. That must be in Bitcoin, 15,000. Does that make sense? And it says right now the value is 586.
Okay, yeah, that's pretty relevant.
And then it says that's for Bitstamp. BTCE says they have 10,000 and they're at 568. But anyway.
Yeah, and so the 24-hour volume, how much is exchanged in a 24-hour period for Bitcoin is right around $25 million.
It says transaction last hour, 71,000. I would assume that's Bitcoin, so that probably puts it about right.
That's a lot of exchanging. And it's crazy to think.
Average per hour is 24,000. Bitcoin cent.
It's crazy to think, like, the next one down is Litecoin, and in there, it's, like, when you compare 7 billion, 7 billion's a big number. The next one down the next big coin down is Litecoin, which is 370 million only.
It's funny, it has weighted prices on here. And so for the last 24 hours, it says that it's worth 577. For the last 7 days, 403. And for the last 30 days, 506. Which is still lower than the last 24 hours, so. That's crazy. And it's got pretty much any currency you want to see it in. But it's only Bitcoin. Bitcoin Watch. Interesting website.
I'll have to check that out. Yeah. And so that's my Bitcoin news.
You had one other thing you said?
Yeah. I'm more in depth in Bitcoin. I bought another chunk. Monday, I think it was, for about 0.2. So I've got 20 some Litecoin, and I've got 0.5 Bitcoin now. So I don't know where I'm gonna stop.
Yeah, how much Bitcoin?
0.5.
Oh, because you have it almost all in Litecoin.
Yeah.
I was like, that's not that much.
Yeah.
I mean, it is,
because I had heard that.
With all the problems with Bitcoin, Litecoin was going to go up. Oh, Bitstamp was going to add Litecoin. I had read that too.
Yeah, like because they were doing an upgrade. Yep. And so the day before that happened, I was like, oh, snap. I'm going to just dump a bunch
into. Maybe you're the one that Litecoin. Told me, though.
So.
I don't know what my source is on that one.
Yeah. So my only other news is science related. Did you see that astronauts captured.
Like a gajillion more planets?
I read that today, but this was an asteroid impacting the moon.
Like they saw video footage of it, or mm-hmm. like,
and it was actually the flash from it was actually visible from the Earth.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. So there's a ton of amateur footage, and it's, I They didn't say how.
Well, obviously, it happened on the side that faces the Earth. Then,
yeah, it was on the bright.
So it had to be pretty close to the Earth, really.
Right.
How big?
I didn't catch how big the asteroid was, but it left a crater that was 60 meters across. So 180 feet, roughly.
I mean, that's big, but the moon really is. I mean, it has atmosphere, but it's very, very, I mean,
it basically doesn't have an atmosphere.
Yeah. And so, like, obviously something like that coming to the Earth would break up a lot more, but it'd still do damage.
No, they said if it was to reach Earth's atmosphere, it would have, they guarantee that it would have burnt up.
Oh, really? So.
Yeah. So, but they said it was.
Is that crazy? Like, essentially they're right next to each other, but because of the atmosphere, like.
4,000? I want to say they said it was traveling 4,000 miles a second.
So you think if that burns up, like that one that hit in Russia, like how big had that had to have been coming in, right?
No doubt. But think how many probably do hit the Earth.
Well, all the time, right? I'm surprised more satellites don't get taken out.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe we just don't hear about it as much. Like, oh, a satellite went down because a giant asteroid took it out.
You're on your phone, or you're looking at your GPS, and all of a sudden it goes out, you're like, freaking Google Maps.
What the?
And then it's just a satellite got
what
taken out.
What the heck? Owen says that all the time. What the heck? Where do you learn these things?
Sounds like something.
He's crazy.
Yeah.
Says damn a lot, too.
That is my story.
That's cool, though.
Yeah.
That would have been cool to see. But who wants to go stand outside in 30 below weather at this point?
Mike, it's not 30
below. I like that Andrew had a picture of today of some guy outside in shorts. I was like, that's awesome. Anyways, you can find us. Oh, you're done, right? You got nothing?
That is that.
You can find us on our social media networks. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr. Not on Instagram, but you can look for us anyway, because... That's funny. You can call us. We have a phone number.
406-794-3357.
We have an email address. If you want to let us know what you think, or go on our Facebook page.
Maybe you got a hot tip.
Yeah, maybe you like got some insider trading you want to let us know about.
Yeah. Or you want to donate to us. Donate at bleedgeek.com.
You can follow us individually on Twitter or Instagram as well. I am at Mike037.
I am at The Crandall with two L's.
Two L's. Double L's. But that is our show for the evening. We thank you for listening. I am Mike Earl.
I'm Randy Orvis.
Have a good night.